Red 5. I'm going in.
Stay in attack formation.
Hello, Star Wars fans, and welcome to another edition of Trench Run Report. My name is Aaron Russo. I'm co-hosting with
Justin Gray, standing by.
And we are recording probably our first episode that isn't connected to a show or movie or some kind of content release in quite some time. So we're taking a little detour and recording an episode on what we will call the Kenner era of Star Wars toys and collectibles. So we're going to dive into the Kenner period of time, roughly 1978 to 2000 or so, is when they were making toys under the Kenner brand, even though it was bought out by Hasbro in the 80s. So we're going to jump into that, and as we were talking before we went on online here, we might be doing a three-part series on the different kind of eras of collecting. I think it's going to be an interesting process. I think that collecting, for me, having been alive for all of it, I've seen it change dramatically. But we're going to start with the Kenner era of Star Wars collecting, which for me is a hugely nostalgic subject. Did you have any opening thoughts or comments on this subject?
I'm just kind of excited to dive in because this is kind of, obviously I was not alive during this time, or was my conception on this earth written. So this is definitely a kind of a learning experience plus just overall, like, listening to Aaron's story is going to be delightful because it's always great to hear, like, how what it was like being a Star Wars fan back then. And it's going to be interesting to see how it evolved. That's pretty much it.
Okay. Did you ever collect any of the, like, original stuff? Did you ever buy any stuff that was a little older?
Outside of a Marvel comic that was surprisingly from the 70s. I think it was actually one of the first five or six that was published. So I think that might be the oldest thing that I have in my collection. But as far as the Kenner toy line, I think I might have a vintage R2-D2 that's obviously out of the package.
Right.
Because getting them in the package now, like nowadays, in like very good condition, those things could like rack up to thousands.
Yes, thousands of dollars.
So then I think I have a vintage Cloud City car.
Oh, yeah, the Twin Pod Cloud car. Yep. Yes, mm-hmm. I had that toy. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So
I'll tell you, what makes this conversation interesting to me is not just the fact that I lived through this, the initial time of this, but is that it really is a going back to a totally different world. Like, the world in the 70s and 80s, late 70s, early 80s, from a kid's perspective, it was a completely different time. And things have changed so dramatically in terms of how kids play. And so it's really interesting, like, to talk about this because, without talking about all the other stuff that's come over the last 20 years or so from Disney and the prequels, it was a different time period. It was a different, everything was just different. I'll say that, like, kids played different. And so this is really not just a discussion about Kenner and Star Wars and the collecting aspect, but it's really about an era that's gone, that's never going to come back in terms of how children play and how they create and imagine. But for me, I have very vivid memories, and I don't recall. I was trying to think about, like, prior to Star Wars, I can't really think of any franchise movies or TV shows or anything that inspired significant toy sales. I do think that, you know, there was G.I. Joe, mm-hmm. which wasn't necessarily connected to... I think G.I. Joe was just a toy. It was, if I'm not mistaken. And then it became other things, like cartoons and TV and mm-hmm. and stuff. And even a movie, I guess, in the somewhat recent past, that was inspired by the toys. But this was the first time that I could remember as a child that you had some form of media, some a movie or TV show, that launched an equally world-changing line of toys. Like, prior to this, I don't remember there being anywhere near the excitement over toys. Like, there was, I mean, kids played with toys, but yeah. There was never this, like, fever, this rush, this, like, madness around it. I mean, it was literally like that. But I think it's interesting. I mean, we can maybe talk a little bit about it, because we've both seen the documentary. I think there's one that's the toys that made us, and then yep. There's another one that's just a regular documentary about Kenner. And it's interesting because I think that the first interesting thing about the history, right, was that nobody saw this coming, right? Like, when mm-hmm. Kenner, like, it wasn't like, who's going to get the Star Wars merchandise license for toys? Nobody was really saying that. And Kenner was not a big player in the toy industry necessarily. And they were, I believe, based out of Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
And they were kind of a small company. And I don't remember exactly how they ended up getting the rights to the toys. I don't know if it was because nobody else wanted it. I think that might have been part of it. And it was viewed as a kind of a risk or a gamble that a small company figures they would take. And, man, did that ever pay off? It's probably one of the most profitable decisions in the history of toy manufacturing that I can think of. But I very distinctly remember. I remember the movie coming out. I remember going to the movie. I remember, you know, that there was this immediate, like really, like, a craze. I don't know how else to say it. It was like, people just wanted anything with Star Wars on it. Like, it was just insane, you know. T-shirts, iron-on T-shirts, you know, toys, silverware, like everything that you could put Star Wars on, people would just gobble it up. Like, they just would go crazy over it. The soundtracks, you know, eventually the VHS tapes were incredibly hard to get. Like, but the toys specifically, that was a game changer. Like, nothing like this had ever happened before. I don't remember the first toy that I got. I don't remember exactly how that worked. I do remember that the whole, like, because they were trying to get it out by Christmas and they couldn't get it out by Christmas. And so they did the thing where you bought a box with a certificate in it that basically said you're going to get these toys sometime in the future.
Yeah, I was actually wondering, did you partake in that, or was
I believe that? I did. I believe I did, because I remember getting those toys. I don't remember specifically, like, the details of those events. I just know that I very vividly remember all at once. I had, you know, that first, what, 6 or 8 figures that came out. And, I mean, it was a big deal. And when you're a kid, like, right, like, if you were the kid on the block that had all the new Star Wars toys, that was it. Like, that was like, that you were the most popular kid. Like, you got all the Star Wars toys. Oh, man. But that's all there was. It was just those action figures just came out, and that was it. But I remember, I have a very vivid memory. Like, I remember, like, always wanting to, you know, this was back. This is just, it's almost sad to talk about it. Like, you know, Toys R Us was still very much a thing that I used to, I spent my childhood. That's where I went shopping for toys. There was Toys R Us, and there was another small toy store closer to my home called Don's Toys. I remember that to this day. Very small little mom and pop toy store. And they had some stuff, but, you know, that was usually marked up in price, and it was hard. They didn't have as much inventory. But, I mean, people were literally, like, on the hunt for this stuff. And they would go to Toys R Us every day to check if new stuff had come in. And I have very vivid memories of people standing in Toys R Us, just standing by the check stand. And they would just bring boxes out and open them, and people would just grab them. I mean, they would just buy them right out of the box. Like, they didn't even get to merchandise them. They would just...
Wow.
They would just... I remember very clearly, like, they would bring a box, bring boxes, you know, they'd cut them open, and then you would just... It was a free-for-all. Like, it was insane. It was absolutely a phenomenon. And people went crazy over this stuff. It was the biggest toy hype release ever, by far. And I remember going to Toys R Us. I remember, you know, being at the age that I was, you know, I was completely dependent on my mom or my dad to take me to a toy store to see if they had anything, you know, and it was always a, you know, like, can we go to Toys R Us, you know, but there was no internet, you know, there was no way to check inventory, there was no online orders, there was no advanced pre-sales, you had to be at the right place at the right time when they got a shipment, otherwise you couldn't get the stuff, and that was pretty much for my whole childhood, from 1978, roughly, was when the toys came out, to well into the 80s, 83, 84. That was my obsession, was Star Wars Kenner toys. I was obsessed. Anytime it was my birthday, you know, Christmas, Hanukkah, any occasion where I'm... would be asked, well, what do you want? I'm almost it's still that way. Like, anytime an occasion comes up, right? It's any holiday, anything that where you're gonna buy me something, it was always automatic. Well, you just get them a Star Wars toy. You get them something Star Wars. Still that way, but like, always had something coming in. And I remember very clearly, you know, man, if you the second you got a new Star Wars toy, man, you called your friends, you know, I got the this, I got the that, da, 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 da. And then they'd bring their toys over, you'd bring your toys over, and you'd play with your Star Wars toys together, and that was really a way of playing that really is not common anymore. But you would bring your toys to each other's homes, and you would, you know, recreate scenes or make up stuff. And I remember very clearly having, like, we were looking at this. I mean, I remember having the original figures, all these figures, all of them. I had all of them. I remember having the land speeder, the TIE fighter, the X-Wing. The Death Star Space Station playset was my favorite and most memorable playset. And I played with that thing for hours, hours and hours. I explicitly remember having those in my room, and having this carrying case with the and yeah, I mean, that was, I remember, you know, when the original trilogy, when the New Hope came out, and then when Empire Strikes Back came out, it was all ramped up again. Return of the Jedi, it all ramped up again. Probably tapered off a little bit with Return of the Jedi, maybe a little bit, but still. Those were the toys of the decade, right? That from 78 to 88, like, nothing could come close to the sales and the hype of Star Wars toys. I remember having so many action figures, vehicles, play sets, you name it. All of it. It was a wild, wild thing. You just, those toys were the thing to have. And I had them. I wish I still had them. But, I'm trying to think of other things about that. I remember very clearly, like, you know, Toys R Us was the place to go to get this stuff. But for that initial push, like, they couldn't keep them in stores. Like, you couldn't, just like today, you can walk into a store and just browse Star Wars toys. Like, they're just sitting up there. You couldn't do that back then. It would just come out of the box and be gone.
So was there, like, at any point, like, did they have, like, an aisle, like, life, like, to the extent where, like, there was, like, Star Wars displays up, or...
Yeah, there were. And I think eventually they did catch up with demand. But I just remember it being very hard to find. The stuff just didn't stay on the shelves for very long. But there was eventually, like, aisles. But I mean, you got to remember, like, especially for that first push, like, this was something, it was very, the story of the Kenner line of the original toys is very similar to the story of the movie, which is that nobody saw it coming. Like, nobody saw it coming. So there was no anticipation, like, okay, what's our plan for when the new Star Wars toys come out? Right up to the moment that the movie came out, they weren't even sure if anybody would go see it, much less that it would spawn the biggest toy franchise in history. So there was no, it was all catch up. That's why the IOU thing came out. That's why, like, it took so long for them to catch up to the demand that it just created this period of time where it was just incredibly scarce and everybody wanted it. And that was back, you know, there was no eBay. There's no, you know, no one was buying it and selling it online for 2, 3, 4 times the price. You just either had it or you didn't. I'm sure some people would resell, but that the reseller part was not a really big thing. You know, maybe you could find someone selling them at a convention or at a swap meet or something, but they were incredibly rare. But yeah, eventually there were, like, you know, spaces in the stores where you would see. Lisa, I only ever remember going to Target, not Target, to Toys R Us or to this small toy store in my neighborhood. Don's Toys, and that was it. That was it. There was no, you know, no online orders, no pre-orders, no resellers, no nothing. It was just, and it was absolutely primarily kids. It was kids buying toys to play with. It was not what it is now, which is largely a collecting, you know, thing that is for adults. But man, I tell you, I love those action figures. Oh gosh, I can't even begin to tell you how. I mean, those are vivid memories. I'll never forget.
So, actually, like, to kind of sidetrack from what I was originally gonna say. Oh man, this little pamphlet thing's gonna fall apart. Like, just a little FYI, we're kind of basing a lot of, like, our what's in this episode on this little booklet that I found in the Escape from the Death Star vintage game. And it has, like, all the Kenner action figures, vehicles, there are other accessories like lightsabers, blasters, which surprisingly look like real guns. I don't think you can pull that off.
I don't think my mom will let me get guns. And I don't even know if I remember playing with lightsabers. I very clearly remember the action figures, the vehicles, the creatures, the play sets. I don't remember having the guns, or I imagine I might have. But I could easily see where my mom might have said, no guns, no lightsabers, like no weapons or something like that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the lightsabers were, as I'm reading, as it says here, join the force with Star Wars lightsaber, safe, inflatable blade, lights up with a flick of a button. 13.
Inflatable, huh?
Yeah.
I don't know if I ever had that. Maybe I did. I'm sure I did. That's nothing like what they have now.
Yep, batteries not included.
Oh man, I remember getting any like glassware, like Dixie cups, like anything that had Star Wars on it. My bedding, the posters, the soundtracks, the Topps trading cards. I mean, I get to do a whole episode on just the Topps trading card thing. That was a whole nother simultaneous with the Kenner stuff. The Topps trading cards were absolutely like same scenario. Like you'd have to like constantly go to the 7-Eleven down the street to see if they had any new Star Wars cards, and they would sell out fast. I mean, if you could get a hold of a box.
Yeah, that kind of brings up another point. Nowadays, collecting is quite the money spender or hustle at this point. But like back then, what were the prices like, and do you think it kind of equals to like what it is today?
Oh man, I remember. I mean, I don't think the action figures were more than a couple of bucks, maybe.
Okay.
I don't even. Huh. Like, not very much money. Not even $4 or $5. I don't think. They were cheap. I mean, that was, you know, we're talking 40 plus years ago. They were not expensive. And there was no resale market that I remember. They weren't really any more expensive than any other toys. They were certainly in demand, but they weren't like marked up or anything that I recall. They were accessible. Most, you know, you didn't have to be rich to have Star Wars toys. But I just remember, like,
so very far cry from like the 14-15 bucks that they are today.
Yeah. Sometimes when I see these figures at Target, like, and it's like a Black Series figure is like $35-$40.
Yeah.
and it's, yeah, and but that's again, that's a very different, like, these are primarily being, I would assume, being sold to people who never open them or play with them. Whereas when I was, when the Kenner line, even the all three of the movies, like, no, those were overwhelmingly sold to children who immediately opened them and played with them.
Mm-hmm.
That's why now these, you know, if you find a carded original 1978 Kenner action figure, it's incredibly rare and incredibly expensive. Even if it's not in good condition, still pretty rare, very pricey, because nobody was thinking, you know, to keep this thing, you know, save it, you know. I mean, I'm sure some people were, but that wasn't the fun. That wasn't the driving force was toys for kids to play with. That was the driving force behind it. Kids wanted these toys. It was the absolute, the thing that you wanted as a kid was to have Star Wars toys. This is before video games, largely before video games. I think Atari came out in this, was it late 70s or early 80s?
Yeah, I think it was mostly the 80s. Because like the first Star Wars video game was released in 1982, I believe, with Empire Strikes Back on Atari.
Yeah, so it was a different time, you know. Even if you see the commercials, right? You know, you see the commercials.
Oh, yeah.
And when was the last time you saw a commercial for any Star Wars toys?
Whew.
They don't make them. They don't.
I would say,
do they ever advertise Star Wars toys?
I think the last one was for Force Awakens, if I really remember correctly. And that was because my sister had Disney Channel on. So, and plus, like, that was, like, probably the most hype around toys for Star Wars since the prequel era.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say that Star Wars was struggling with toy. Well, they kind of were like around 2013 and 14, but that we can save that for the next couple episodes.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I also do have a collection of Kenner. Man, I wish I would have brought that DVD, but remember that holiday special DVD that I acquired from a fan?
Yeah.
That had not only the holiday special, like, I think it was recorded off of
advertisements.
Yeah. So, like, the guy recorded the holiday special off of a beta tape, I believe, and then burned it onto a DVD. But he also recorded Kenner advertisements that were from VHS and beta tapes, and I think one of them he recorded off of a Laserdisc. Like, this guy was so proud to get rid of that DVD. It was quite interesting. And I think there was also like a Muppets episode on that DVD with Mark Hamill showing up. So yeah, I remember playing some of the Kenner advertisements, and it's like, it was definitely a different era than it will.
Yeah, it showed
today.
Kids playing.
Yeah, it showed. Yeah,
you know, like, hey, you know, get these toys and you can relive your favorite moments. You know, and then show them mm-hmm. playing in, like, the sand or in the outside or, you know, or, like... And it was a different way of marketing
mm-hmm.
the toys. Whereas now, like, I mean, toys are still marketed to children, obviously, but, like, I really do think with the Star Wars stuff that it's really largely marketed to adults. But I cannot separate the Kenner, like, that Kenner logo just is so iconic. It is so iconic, and it instantly triggers for me. Anytime I see that logo, it's an instant trigger to, like, these childhood memories. There was nothing more exciting than getting a new action figure, you know, on that carded piece of cardboard, like, and it was like I said, a different time when, you know, there wasn't, it was before video games, before cable TV, before, you know, that was a time when kids still played with toys and they did creative play where they played outside. You know, you didn't have the other outlets that we have now. But I remember, I have vivid memories of that twin pod cloud car from Empire Strikes Back. Mm-hmm. I remember having a Tauntaun, I think I have it somewhere, Tauntaun with a little hole in it, and you could put the Luke or Han Solo action figure in it. Oh, wow. I remember having the Hoth playset. It's like a little ice planet thing. The Death Star playset, all the action figures, the Land Speeder, the X-Wing, the TIE Fighter. Yeah, lots and lots and lots of toys. That was as much of a part of the whole experience of seeing, you know, that was the movies themselves and the toys. Those went hand in hand. They were a part of that whole experience. The only other thing I remember is, you know, all the traditional, like, you know, kitchenware, like things you could put Star Wars on in the kitchen or like in your room, like bedding was a big thing, or clothes. And I remember specifically, like, this was back when the iron-on t-shirt craze took off, and you'd go to these stores and they'd have blank shirts like this one. And then you'd look on the wall and there'd be a big wall of like different iron-on things you could put on the shirt.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a bunch of Star Wars ones, obviously. And I remember going to this one store where I grew up, and, man, I would always want to pick out a Star Wars, you know. I'd love to find, I'm sure there's somebody out there making those vintage shirts still.
Oh, like really?
Replicas of it, I'm sure.
So like, when you mentioned iron-ons, like, did those things, like, actually stay on the shirt, or did they, like, fade?
Oh, they came off over time, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But they did stay on for long enough for you to wear it a lot and enjoy it, but they did eventually start to peel off.
Oh, okay.
But you would pick the iron-on, they had these big machines, you know, and they'd press it on, and then, you know.
Huh.
So you could pick, you know, whatever picture you want. They had more than just Star Wars up there, but Star Wars was easily the most popular thing. And that was a big thing. That was a big, you know, they don't have that anymore. Screen printing is still a thing, but mostly you just buy pre-made stuff. Like,
mm-hmm.
But, yeah. Yeah, the Kenner thing was a part of my childhood that I'll never forget. That was the toy, the excitement around the toys. Because that was the only way. You had to remember, like, this was before, you know, the only thing you could do to essentially, like, re-experience the movies was through the toys or through, like, the storybooks, like the books that had the pictures.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, that was it. You didn't stream on anything. You couldn't rent it. You couldn't do anything. You couldn't see it. Like, it was in the theater and then it was gone and that was it. And I was like, you couldn't watch it over and over. So you had to depend on, like, still photos or toys. So the toys were really a way of, like, staying in that universe, staying in that world. Even though you couldn't be in it like you can now, where you could literally watch Star Wars every day if you wanted to. So there's something very magical about, you know, having, you know, a piece of the movie in your room, like a Stormtrooper or a Darth Vader or an R2-D2. I remember loving the big king size, the jumbo action figures. Ugh, even though they were terrible, like, they had no points of articulation. Like, mm-hmm. The arms would just go like this. Like, they didn't bend at the elbows or... You know, it was just very, like, but they were just, they looked so cool. These giant action figures, like, bigger than any Black Series figures. And I remember my favorite was I had a Boba Fett king size jumbo action figure. Oh, man, that thing was fantastic. But yeah, that really is my experience with all of that. And I never really, like, after Return of the Jedi, I don't remember collecting a bunch then, and then I don't think I really got into collect. I didn't continue to collect through high school. The Power of the Force line, I don't remember purchasing many, if any. I don't know if it's because I just outgrew it, or because it wasn't attached to any new content, or if it was just because they were just terrible looking toys.
Everybody was swole.
Like, and that was back, like, that was, I think that was because of, like, you know, that was back when, like, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger and, like, and, like, that era, you know, and there was that, yeah, it's terrible. It was really probably, honestly, the worst line of Star Wars toys that there's ever been. Like, if I see the Power of the Force stuff, like, anywhere out and about, it just has no real appeal or draw.
Oh, there's, like, a little box up there, and, yeah, Luke's shoulders are, like,
pretty broad.
Yeah, pretty broad, and
it's funny, you know, like, we're not going to talk about the prequels, but I tell you that I can tell you that any successive revival of Star Wars has always been about a release of toys,
mm-hmm.
you know, which is one of the reasons why it's so sad to me to see the way things are now, where it's like, I mean, like, even, you know, for a while in the Disney era, it was very exciting, but by the time Rise of Skywalker came out,
yeah,
it's a dying thing. It is what it is. It's sad. I lament the end of an era of experiencing toys, shopping for toys. But man, I can tell you, back then, there was nothing bigger. There was nothing bigger until, like, Atari came out, until video games came out, and then that kind of, you know, but it didn't replace playing with toys, but, man, there was nothing that could touch what the hype and the excitement and the enthusiasm kids had for Star Wars toys, especially for boys. It was everything. And it was, yeah. Yeah, something that's still to this day, like, I'll tell you, if I was the kind of person with, like, lots and lots and lots of disposable income, I would go out and I would fervently collect, like, the actual vintage toys. Mm-hmm. I remember going, when we were at Star Wars Celebration.
Oh, yeah.
In California, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 2 years ago, roughly.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw people who had, like, the original Kenner figures in the box, in very good to mint condition, sealed, $10,000.
Oh, you know, yeah.
$15,000. And I'm like, that's not in my budget, but if it was, I'd buy it. I'd have the whole collection. So, I'd recollect the whole thing.
Yeah, that's like lottery money.
Yeah, yeah, that's like wish dream.
Yep.
You know, it's funny. I saw there's a thing on YouTube. You can find it, because one of the best personal collections of Star Wars, vintage Star Wars toys, is Rick Springfield, who you probably don't know who that is. Rick Springfield was a soap opera actor who became a very famous rock pop star. He was most famous for he had a pretty good career as a musician, but he was what was the name of the song? I don't even remember.
Okay, now it's kind of somewhat familiar, but
anyway, this guy turned out later, like, there's a video on YouTube of him, and he's got this incredible collection of really good vintage Star Wars toys.
Huh.
And then they offset that with, like, showing, like, this stuff gets auctioned off at like Sotheby's for like tens of thousands of dollars, some of these toys, you know, because they're so rare to have them and still in the package and still in good condition. Because like I said, when those toys came out, there wasn't, you know, there wasn't Al's Toy Barn. You know, there wasn't the collectors who were like, argh. I just remember a bunch of parents with their kids just gobbling up all these toys, you know. Mm-hmm. I just have such a vivid memory of this one time being at Toys R Us and like, I don't know how, but you know, we happened to be there and somehow people knew that there was a shipment and they just stood at the registers, right? Not in line, but just off the registers. And they just came out with these boxes and they cut them open and people would just grab them. And it was all kids. It was all, you know. I remember experiencing that. Like I think when Revenge of the Sith came out, and we were at Toys R Us in California, and that kind of happened. Where like they came out with boxes, and started cutting them open, and people were just rifling through them. And I was like, man, this is like such a throwback for me, such a flashback.
Yeah, my experience like that wouldn't come around until Force Awakens.
Until Force Awakens, yeah. So. No, the Kenner era is iconic, and it for a long time, you know, like many other things with Star Wars, it spawned all kinds of copycat, you know, because everybody was looking for the next big merchandise, you know, like then every time a movie came out, there was toys.
Oh, okay,
you know. But no one could match the demand and the hype around Star Wars toys. But there were, you know, every movie that would come out, you know, I remember even like James Bond movies would come out. There'd be action figures for it. Superhero movies would come. Superman would come out. There was always it birthed a whole new way of attaching merchandise to movies and television. And it's the whole story, and it's just part of the lore of those early days, right? Like how George Lucas got the license, you know, got the rights to all the, you know, because like nobody wanted it, like, you know, it's part of the whole mythology, really, around how something like Star Wars just came out of nowhere. And in like literally overnight became the biggest thing ever, biggest movie, biggest toys, it was a phenomenon unlike anything I've ever seen again. The only other thing I can think of that comes close would be like maybe like sneakers, like people going crazy over sneakers being released or something, like, or some video games, I guess, but like. With the age of the internet and video games and online orders and blah blah blah, like we're never gonna see what happened with Kenner, with the Kenner Star Wars toys ever again. But man, it is to this day one of my fondest memories is the Kenner craze, especially around the first movie in Empire Strikes Back. It was just a phenomenon. A phenomenon. Like nothing I'd ever seen.
So, before we call it a close, I think it's also kind of cool to notice that, like, as far as, like, the Kenner brand and Star Wars... when they started to bring those like back for the Black Series, like how did that make you feel? Like,
oh, I mean, when they started throwing the Kenner logo back on stuff.
Yeah. And
oh,
like,
oh man.
And like, I think it just got to the point where now, like even the like vintage collection for like modern days, they kind of have like that more of that Kenner feel than they
do
have like like as far as like selling identity, like yeah. you know how like the episode one had this card, and like whenever they see that, they go like, okay, I know this was from like when the Phantom Menace was around, or like Revenge of the Sith, the Vader head, or like the Kylo Ren mask for the Force Awakens era.
Mm-hmm.
Like I feel like they kind of just moved away from like doing that to more of the Kenner.
Yes, and I really love like when those
cards.
You can't see it if you're listening, but I have displayed in my living room here the Black Series re-releases of the original trilogy figures on the like the vintage Kenner carded. I mean, when those came out, and the smaller ones, I had to have them. I absolutely was obsessed with getting a hold of all of those.
Mm-hmm.
I have more downstairs, but that was like just having a replica of those cards with the Kenner and the same picture. I mean, like that's my childhood, right? Like those images on the card backs and the Kenner logo and the Star Wars wrap, like that is my childhood right there. Like those images are burned in my brain permanently. Like those images will not leave me. Unless I get dementia or Alzheimer's disease, I will never forget those images. I remember spending hours like just staring at those images, mesmerized by them. And so when they started to kind of revive that, oh yeah, I was very excited. Specifically for that series of Black Series figures and the regular ones, like the where they replicated
mm-hmm.
the original.
Oh, the retro ones.
Yes, the retro, yes. The retro ones I had to have as well. I had to have those because those are the figures I played with. Like, which is funny now because you look at those now and you're like, oh my gosh, those are terrible. Like, they didn't look anything like the characters. They had, again, like no points of articulation.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I see. The capes look different.
The capes were plastic.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
Were they embedded in the forearm of the character and you'd slide it out? Like it wasn't a separate
mm-hmm.
piece of plastic that you put in someone's hand.
And Luke's is yellow. Wait.
Yeah, it didn't make much sense. But all of those action figures, mm-hmm. at the time, right? And it's all relative, right? And at the time, no one thought, oh, these look like crap. Like,
right.
Yeah.
I mean, like, even now, I still kind of admire the way they look. They kind of have, like, their own distinct
They do have designs. Their own distinct look. I remember when we were at Celebration in Chicago, I remember someone had, like, these giant, like, life-size replicas of some of those vintage figures. And I took some pictures with some of them. Or they had things where you could take a picture of yourself on the card, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I mean, those are iconic pieces of toy history. Those figures and those packages are, to this day, I mean, they're the most legendary, you know, toy things that you can imagine. And it'll never be, that'll never happen again because it's just not how kids play anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But I like I said, if I had, you know, if I was Scrooge McDuck and I was sitting on a pile of cash, man, I'd be all over that. I would spend thousands of dollars to collect that stuff and to have it again. But it was a different time. People didn't think to keep the toys or not unbox them, you know, which is ironic because now everybody thinks that way, but now because everybody thinks that way, the stuff doesn't ever get that much more valuable
mm-hmm.
because everybody's
yeah. saving it. It's kind of like the Phantom. I think the eyes were kind of open during the Phantom Menace era,
if I remember
correctly. Hence why there's a lot of them that are still in the packages.
Yeah, no, they're not really all that, like if you find them out there in the wide world, they're not usually... Mm-hmm. all that expensive. I think that was a combination of things going on there. Number one is they mass produced that stuff. Like, you know, it was, if anything, they made too much of it. And then it became, you know, it was common and a lot of people had the forethought that I'm not going to open this thing. So it didn't have, you know, like, you know, it's never gonna, we're never gonna see that again. That phenomenon is never gonna happen again. That, you know, where you know, and nowadays, like, you know, people just don't play with physical toys. You know, other than maybe Legos, they're probably the last really true physical toy that people will engage in, you know, from childhood on. It's all video games and screens and, you know, maybe some creative play around toys. I don't know. I mean, I don't think that that's a thing anymore. Like, do kids play with toys anymore? I don't know.
I've seen younger kids play with toys, like, if they're, like, in the living room. But I don't think they, like, really expressively go out just for, like, a specific thing anymore.
I mean, my grandson, you know, I remember him when he was younger. Like, he's 5 now. And he still, I think, sometimes plays with physical toys. But when he was younger, yeah, I mean, like, you know, when you're really young, like 2, 3, 4, you can't really play video games very well. And so he was really into Hot Wheels and into, like, dinosaur toys.
Oh, okay.
And he would love to play with his Hot Wheels and his dinosaur toys. But I don't know that he does it all that much, as, you know, because nowadays with kids, it's like, as soon as they get old enough to play Nintendo or Xbox or even, like, games on their phone or their iPad, that's what they do. That's how they play. So the toy thing is, it's really a dying thing, which is, I mean, you know, hence the closing of Toys R Us. I don't, you know, you go to the toy aisles at Target, stuff just sits there. I don't see anything moving.
Mm-hmm.
Very much. Most of the stuff that I see in the toy aisles at Target, I'm pretty sure are for adults who want nostalgia and, like,
and
want to collect that stuff.
Yeah, and I think they actually even market it as that. And there's, like, even an adult, I have to be careful with this word, adult toy section. Like, for have figures that are, like, definitely collectible items for adults.
Right.
So, yeah, it's definitely, and, like, even from when I was a kid, like, there was kind of, like, this, like, what you said, like, when I was a kid, I didn't really have them, like, stay in the box. I opened them, I played with them, and all that kind of stuff, etc. But, yeah, we are kind of living in a different time.
Yeah, I mean, now it's, like, I mean, even when we went to, you know, Force Awakens or Last Jedi or Rogue One, like, when you go to those midnight openings, it's all adults. Mm-hmm. There was no kid. I mean, there were some kids.
Yeah, there were some kids there.
But let's be clear.
Like, yeah.
It was mostly adults. And a lot of the adults that brought their kids, the adults wanted to be there at least as much as their kids, if not more.
Mm-hmm.
It's so hard not to talk about, because I have so many fond and vivid memories of the Kenner toy era. But I also have very fond memories of the prequel and sequel eras. All of that. The whole collecting and toys and release and all that is like I said, it's as almost equally as meaningful and as important, exciting and as important as the release of the content itself. You know, it's always a big thing. You know, that's why by the time Rise of Skywalker came out, I was just devastated that it was like, no one's doing midnight openings anymore. They didn't even put the merchandise out that night. If you went to a 24-hour store, they were like, oh, it's not even out yet. Like, and there was just no, you know, and I don't personally think that that's because Star Wars was becoming less popular. I think it was just not a, you know, toys just aren't what they used to be. But, man, when they re-released these Kenner vintage and retro and all that, like, oh yeah, that'll get me every time. Every time. 100%. Yeah. I would love to eventually someday, you know, try to collect a little bit of the original, like the actual vintage Kenner stuff.
Mm.
Have some of it again. I have one, like, 1983 unboxed Kenner AT-AT driver.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
You can find the ones that are loose, you can still find them.
Oh, yeah.
Quite easily, and they're not terribly expensive.
Yeah, so... Yeah, some conventions do sell them. Like, so there are, like, even, like, dollar bin...
Yeah, and there's even that one comic book store down on, is it Division or Eastern?
You know, there's one in, there's one on Division, but I think the one you're thinking about is the one on Eastern.
Yeah, they have a ton of vintage stuff. I remember they even had, like, some vintage, like, Halloween costumes, and I'm just telling you, man, like, for a while there... In the 70s and 80s, Star Wars just, I mean, it dominated everything. Like, I remember McDonald's had, like, these special glasses that you could get, like, drinking glasses. I think Burger King did that, too. You know, if it was Halloween, everybody wanted to dress up as a Star Wars character. Yeah, it was everything. Like, that was a wild time. I'm very glad that I was alive. Like, I was, like, perfectly, you know, I was 7 years old when that movie came out, and I was right in the crosshairs of, like, the demographic that would, you know, George Lucas even said that this stuff was for, and I just was consumed by it. Almost completely. I mean, I had other interests as a kid. I still enjoyed sports for the most part. But Star Wars dominated. My toys, everything about how my room was decorated or arranged. I don't remember really having a lot of music other than vinyl Star Wars soundtracks.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just play them on endlessly, you know, just over and over again in my room, with my toys. You know, that was, you just relived the experience of the movie through the music and the toys and the storybooks, you know, like the books and magazines and things. I still have a lot of that stuff boxed up downstairs. I remember even like, you know, even if you could find movie posters of Star Wars or anything with, like, images from the movie, it was, like, a big deal.
Mm.
Would get gobbled up, you know. But, again, this is before the internet, before digital media, so everything was in print. So you had to get your hands on a physical copy of something if you wanted to be able to relive anything or see anything again. I remember when the first time I saw a VHS copy of Star Wars. I remember the first time I set my eyes on one. And it was locked in a glass cabinet in a video store. And I just was like... I think back then, in like this was like in the, maybe in the 80s, early 80s.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was 80... $100-$150 to own a copy of Star Wars. It was still very hard. It was still really not accessible before it was a rental
situation. Oh, okay.
I don't know. I just remember it being prohibitively expensive.
Hmm.
And really, I was like, oh my gosh, that's, you could own the movie. Like, whoa. But anyway, back then, so the Kenner, yeah, the Kenner era. I was there, but it will never be, I don't think that we'll ever see anything like that again.
Mm.
Yeah. Is Kenner still a company?
I don't think so. No. I think they kind of just merged into Hasbro.
So Hasbro still owns the rights to, like, the Kenner brand.
Like, the Kenner name, yeah. Hence why
they're re-releasing toys. Flopping
them everywhere.
Yeah. But it's really a Hasbro enterprise
mm-hmm.
that's just using The image is a nostalgia thing, which I'm absolutely all for it.
Yeah, if I did have a time machine, I would like to go back and experience that. And if I had the like money, but like kind of like reverse, like time reverse it, because you can't use a future dollar in the past kind of deal. If I did that, I would probably go out and buy all those vintage toys and then come back here and go, yeah, I got it.
Oh, man. But if I would have known. Oh, my gosh. I mean, there's no way I could have known. No. But if I could have kept that stuff. But I would never, you know, it was the hours and hours and hours of play. That was what the toys were about. They were about play. It was about play. It was about reliving things. It was about connect. You brought your friends over, you know, and you had this toy and they had that toy and they had that toy, and you bring them all together and you can recreate the whole movie, you know. It's weird to even think of people playing that way nowadays, you know, like with action figures, and they're so clunky and so, like, you know, compared to what you can do on a video game or, you know, like a role-playing game or any, like, you know, but it was, that was how you played, you know, you made voices and you moved things around and that was how you played. But that's not a thing now for the most part, but, I could do that for hours. I remember spending hours in my room playing with the Death Star playset. If I could have one thing, if I could get one thing now then to have it again, it would be that Death Star playset. I've seen it. I've seen it at Star Wars Celebration. I saw it. Someone had it on display at Schuler Books years ago. It's out there, but hard to get and very expensive. I've seen, like, random pieces of it for sale at, like, Wally's or something like that. But yeah. Yeah. Nothing but good memories about all that. And it will never, I'll never forget it. That whole thing, it was the whole experience. It was the movies, the toys, the trading cards, the soundtrack, and having the music. That was how you stayed connected to those movies.
All right. Sounds like a good place to end the episode. Thanks again for listening to this episode like right after we've done Star Wars Acolyte. And we will be back again in continuing the series. And our next series will be focusing on the toy lines from 1999 to 2013. So basically the prequel era and the Clone Wars era.
Plenty to talk about with that too. Mm-hmm. Maybe even more because it's so more recent.
Yeah, and that's one where I do have I was alive then, and I do have a little bit more of a like a nostalgic feeling with that, as Aaron did with this episode with Kenner. And who knows, maybe even David might share his favorite moments collecting and playing and all that kind of stuff. So
yeah, lots to talk about.
Well, until then, may the Force be with you
always.
Great shot, kid. That was one in a million.